For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of shine. Smoky in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 256 of 4th and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building. We are talking the Eagles Bucks recap. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still feeling this L. And after, shout out to Chris Malley for holding me down on the road trip. We did about 30 hours in the last 4 days of going all the way down to Tampa. But as you go on road trips, you usually see, you start seeing the same things. Like as you're driving, you see a Waffle House, you see a Cracker Barrel. You just see these things just keep popping up. And after 15 hours of driving, you're like, I keep seeing the same things. Now, talking about our Eagles offensive unit, starting slow is a theme that we've seen over and over again. We've seen, you know, Jalen Hurts in the passing game. He didn't have his greatest day out there. That's something that we've seen, that we've liked to seen get improved. There's just the things that we saw all season long that just reared their ugly head all on that day, whether it be errors by some of our wideouts, our receivers not getting separation, our team getting out-coached. I mean, we were pretty much out-coached by this Bucks team. And again, we know Tom Brady knows the answers to the test. We know that he will eat you up if you roll out the zone. We didn't do anything differently. You think about the 2 weeks that they had to prepare for this game. It really wasn't something to be admired by. I was in my bag early. In the second quarter, hands and face around. I was like, literally the last time I was in Tampa, I was like a row of seats over. So I'm like in the same sort of section, going through the same sort of emotions, being heckled by Bucks fans. And just, it just didn't feel right. And you knew where it was going. And a lot of Eagle fans were very upset. And I think half of them left in the third quarter. So I think by then, Eagle fans couldn't take it anymore. So just to tap out, we got tapped out by obviously a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl winning team. So, I mean, here we are as Eagle fans trying to put the pieces back together. I see the dejected looks on both of your faces. I know you have lots of thoughts.
I mean, season's over, man. There's nothing to be excited about when the season is officially over. We talked a lot leading up to that game. There was this, I don't want to say false sense of hope, because in reality, I think if we came out with a better game plan, we actually did have a chance in that game. You know, the team just didn't show up. It was a pretty embarrassing, game plan that we rolled out there. We never really had a shot to win. I said prior to the game that the one thing that we need to focus on is playing the full 60 minutes. We can't get away with being a second half team versus Tom Brady and the Bucks. They won a Super Bowl last year. Tom Brady's the greatest player that's ever lived. You're not going to get away with playing a half-ass game versus them. It's just not going to work. And so, you know, when the Eagles started to come back too little too late, I knew that's exactly what it was. We were already out of that game. But the bigger issue to me, I'm sorry, the bigger thing that we're looking for, I should say, is Jalen Hurts, man. Is Jalen Hurts the guy? That's the conversation we need to have here today. Is he the guy? What he's done and what he's proven this season, the way he turned this team around in the second half of the regular season, I think that was very impressive. I know there's a lot of people that have the sentiment that, oh, well, we had such a trash schedule. You're supposed to beat bad teams. If you're beating the bad teams, that means that you're not a bad team. We were an average team this year. We were an average team that got to the playoffs. Average is better than bad, guys. It really is. So he displays obvious leadership in the locker room, but this is the other side of it. With quarterbacks, I think one of the easiest things you could do if you watch football consistently is the eye test. Does Jalen Hurts pass the eye test? Not yet. No, I don't think so. I mean, from what I've seen this year, I've been talking all year long about we give him a year-long evaluation to see what we have in Jalen Hurts. We did that. We didn't go fall for the Minshew mania, and that would have just shot ourselves in the foot. That would have been no good. We got the full evaluation of Jalen Hurts, and what I've taken away from it is he's a very talented runner, but he doesn't have arm strength, and he doesn't have the anticipation to make up for that lack of arm strength. If he were to have better anticipation, he could float some balls in there and still find his receivers. But the problem is that he holds on to the ball too long to make his decision, and then he doesn't have the strength to back it up. So I see a lot of people out there that are talking about, you know, oh, this is his first true year starting. This is he only had a couple games to start last year. This was his first real opportunity. Well, you know, I know that he isn't these guys, but Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson had very similar starts to their career. They played a few games in the back end of a season that really didn't matter. And then the next year they came out there and they both won MVPs. They were MVPs that year that they were first year starters. So he's not that. He's not an MVP quarterback. Is he a good enough quarterback, though, to bridge us to a better team? Dak Prescott's making $20 million. That guy didn't impress me either. Jalen Hurts is making $1 to $2 million next year. Do you use him on his rookie deal and bolster up a defense around him, give him some weapons, come back with a stronger team next year, see how far it gets us, and if Jalen Hurts can show us that he can take that next step next year, then you roll with him. If not, you roll with a new quarterback in the following season. That is my analysis.
Pretty good analysis, man. Listen, I think Jalen Hurts became the topic the minute that clock hit zero. It was exciting. A couple weeks prior to that, we were excited. We were in the parking lot enjoying our last tailgate of the season. We were hyped up because we made the playoffs. We were able to punch our ticket into the playoffs where a lot of us fans didn't even expect it. So we were excited. We were happy. We were happy for our team. Being Eagles fans, you know, that's what we wanted. We got that. But realistically, expectations going into that game weren't as high. They were high, but weren't as high. Look, I was excited the minute the game started. The minute that I saw that schedule come out at being a 1 o'clock game, they already counted us out. I already saw it there. But, you know, again, you go into the game with anticipation that, you know, they're going to shock the world. Yeah, just sitting there watching that first series. I said it from the very beginning, man. Like, look, we don't have time to catch up in the second half. We got to get our shit together, like, now. We can't do what we're accustomed to doing. Well, it definitely didn't go that way. I mean, it was a shit show. These guys just have no type of chemistry going. They couldn't get, you know, nothing going at all. A couple of plays that were being called that just, like, I don't know, man. I don't get it. It just threw us off. It was that one rollout play that Jalen did, and I don't know where the hell he was going with that. But it's frustrating. You know, like you said, the season's over. Jalen is the topic. I'm going to actually be one to say that I don't know, man. I know we talked about playing him out for the year and then evaluating him, and yeah, that happened, but I really hope that they can maybe take the time to go ahead and develop this kid. I hope, you know, they focus on that in this offseason. I hope he focuses it on the offseason. He develops, He's got to learn how to go ahead and look at that field a whole lot better, man. He showed that in that game. He's only, again, he just eyes that one receiver that he knows he's going to go ahead and throw that ball to too long. He doesn't know how to read his second and third options. A couple check down plays that were right there for him to go ahead and get first downs. He didn't utilize that. And then his arm strength, like you said, man, it's just not there. He's got to find a way to go ahead and get that strength and get it out. You know, going back to seeing a couple of plays that Brian Westbrook and Baldy were kind of like throwing it up in social media for the past couple of days. There was a lot of wide open plays. Watkins, Smith. I mean, it was just like, just seeing it now, it's frustrating even a little bit more. But if this kid could just focus on getting developed in the offseason, I mean, I'm with you, man. Focus on the defense with these three picks that we got. Focus on getting this team stronger around him. And then we'll see how he goes. If he could come back and he could prove that, you know what I mean, he could be that guy, then, worst case, I mean, like, look, it was the best choice that we made. But if we go ahead and focus on another quarterback right now, it's like, I don't know, man. Are we going to start all over again, or are they going to go for a veteran quarterback? I'm not really trying to go down that road. But at the end of the day, man, it's not our call. It's their call. We got to see what happens.
Now, you talk about them making that call. That would be the front office. As fans right here, we like what Jalen Hurts stands for, who he is, player off the field, what he did to the locker room, these players rallying around him. You look at Jordan Mulata talking about, like, what he means to him, what he means to him as his QB1. I feel like the team rallies around him. That the back half of the season, they made a push. You talk about the development, Prime. I think it's definitely, you know, I would like to see them develop around him. I would like to see them use these draft picks, this draft capital, use them wisely. That 1.9 mil in, like, that that everyone was talking about, like, having QB, you know, playing serviceable for that much. But like me trying to speak as Lurie, like, if it's my team and Howie and my vision of, like, what this offense is going to be, or what kind of offense do they want? Like, you look at guys like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, and these guys are passers of the football. So, I mean, if they want that type of offense, if they're impatient, then that's where we could see a real change. I mean, these are opportunities where you have three first round picks, and there's a lot of talent that they can grab in that range. So, like, if you develop this team, because we have holes, we need edge rushers, we need linebackers, we need some DTs in here, we need some safeties, we need some corners. Or do you pull a Bucks type move where you bring in a veteran quarterback who has is elite and
it's already built around him,
and players want to come and play with those said players? I'm speaking in existence yet, but I'm just saying what as the front office has to think about.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is. Yeah, but, like, I want to keep our expectations realistic when it comes to the development of Jalen Hurts, because I would like to say that he could improve on his arm strength, but I really don't think that is something that you can improve on once you reach the NFL level. I think arm strength is one of those things that you either have it or you don't once you reach the NFL. You look at Justin Herbert, right when he came in the league, the dude's got a cannon. Pat Mahomes, he's got a cannon. Jalen Hurts doesn't have that. The thing he can develop is his anticipation. He can read when wide receivers are breaking out of their routes and when he should throw that ball. That's what he can work on. But as far as arm strength, I don't expect him to become much stronger over the offseason. I don't expect him to be throwing the ball, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour faster next season. I don't see that happening.
Well, I could say, like, you talk about the arm strength. Like, my thing is the mechanics. Now, if you don't have the, say, arm strength, you have to have strong mechanics, or like, or if you start heel clicking, or you take one more step back instead of a three-step drop or a four-step drop, like, you know, whatever the drop, because we don't know the coaching points on some of these plays, but mm-hmm. The fact if you're late and you're you're taking another drop. You can't be late and taking an extra drop, because then you, that's how you get picked off. You're just hoping that he gets there. And the front office has got to be in the back room like, look, what kind of offense do we want? And you,
Ev, I just want to mention, man.
I kind of got to
disagree with you on the fact that the arm strength can get faster. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because playing baseball, it can happen. You get the right coach to teach you. I mean, you see some of these players, they go and reach out to other sports,
right,
on how to get that fundamental up together. Now,
you have reached out to MLB players about sliding, bro.
Right, exactly. So I really think it can happen. Now, do we have the time? Do we have the effort to go ahead and put in, you know, for him to get to that point? Maybe not. They want something now, and right now we don't have the time to go ahead and get him up to par with that. But I'm just saying it can happen. I'm gonna use Derek Carr as a prime example. When that dude first came into the league, yo, he started off as a sorry ass quarterback, but he got better as the year. Now, bro, watching him on Saturday, the way he was winging that ball in there to come on that last drive, even though they fell short, yo, he was bombing those things into that receiver. Like, and I could see the, you know, his speed and everything building up. So it can definitely happen. It just all depends on how much time and effort they want to put into getting him developed to that stage. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's the thing where I'm kind of sitting here and like, I've grown to resent the impatience that goes on in the city. If I got to be honest with you, this fan base is so impatient on wanting results. Like I mentioned how, like, you know, Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes came back after their rookie years and they had MVP seasons. That's not what I'm saying I need for Jalen Hurts to do. I need him to be serviceable enough to get the job done and give us a chance to win. You know, he hasn't shown me that his arm is, like, he seems to me like a quarterback that is one dimensional. If he can run the ball, that's great. But, you know, there's two parts to playing quarterback in the NFL nowadays. You got to be able to move in the pocket, run around, and you got to be able to throw the ball.
You know, in Philadelphia, we have a term called trust the process. And, you know, Balding was kind of like, trust the pocket. I mean, there's a point in time where, you know, said pressure is coming from the left to the right. There was a play where Melada picked up the blitzer off the edge, and Boston Scott came up and made a nice block. You got to step up and wing it. And when there's guys that are open, you know, we talk about him keeping his eyes downfield. You have to connect. You talk about that play where Quez Watkins was about to get open, and there's the elite quarterbacks will throw you open. There's, you know, some quarterbacks will hit you, you know, it'll be a little bit behind you or a little bit lower, but, you know, throwing open is a beautiful thing. Not everyone's going to do that, but in terms of like seeing the field, we need to see that. And he alluded to it in his press conferences of where he is as a player. And again, you know, first year starting, getting a 4-win football team to turn it around is respectable. Like I was telling Evan earlier when we had on the phone conversation, I said, the sentence could have been, you know, he could have had a decent game and it would have been Jalen had a good season, period. After that last performance, it's Jalen had a good season, question mark. Like it left the, because this is, it's what have you done for me lately? So this is what we're all going to be thinking about that last game. And that's how teams are going to be thinking about. I mean, the fact that you got some experience in the playoffs, you could grow off that. This is one thing, but we're in a year where 3 first-round picks, guys could be retiring. The voice in the locker room, Kelsey, could be gone. You know, there's a lot of moving parts.
I feel like that, you know, he kind of took a couple steps back in going into this game. And the reason why I say that, I tried something different where I was actually sitting there watching the game. And as I'm watching him during the series, I counted 8. No, I'm sorry, 9. I think I had 9 straight plays where he got out of that pocket in less than 2 seconds. He didn't give himself time. It's like he doesn't have. It's like he went back to how he was in the beginning of the season. I felt like during the middle of the season, and then as the season went on, he was getting better at that. And we were here every week talking about how he was progressing. And then it's just like he diminished. And then going into that game, and it was like the wrong time to be like that. Like, have some confidence in yourself. Have some more confidence in your line. I think the guys were doing okay. They were doing pretty good. You know what I mean? So just give yourself some more time. Buy yourself some more time to look at your 2, 3, 4 options on the field. Because there was guys that were open. But, you know, you're not going to find that time when you're already running out of pocket. So it was just like he was scared of shit, and it was bad, man. It was real bad to see.
I will say, though, that, I mean, I truly do think that Todd Bowles dialed up a really good defensive game plan versus us.
Yeah.
He did, man. I mean, he locked down. He took away our playmakers. We didn't have the ball in Devontae Smith's hands for how long? More than half the game?
Yeah, like third quarter.
You take him out of it, and then I saw one of those Baldy breakdowns where he's just – They had three vertical patterns going on between, I think it was between Dallas, Quez, and Devontae. And then they had a safety over top, so it was covering the over top. And they had Rager on the outside going one-on-one. And Rager couldn't win that battle. Rager couldn't even get off the line. And so that's what that defense did, was they made him – they made Rager the weak spot there because he already was the weak spot.
Bro, I was trying to go longer without you even mentioning that goddamn name.
I know, but we were going to have to get to it eventually, man. Can we all agree? And, like, we don't have to baby hands this at all.
I'm not baby with shit. Him. I'm ready to go ham.
Done with him, bro. I don't want to see him anymore.
Nah, this is like when you talk about the winning these one-on-ones, when a defense takes away your number one option and then your options left over, this is where it is with the NFL. Like, how good are your two and your threes. It's not how good is your one, because if your one is good, they're going to take away your one. And if your passing attack is kind of basic, it's very easy to stop when Jamel Dean had man's like locked up. And when you're in a man situation, the defense is, you know, having their way and you can't get off the jam. That's one thing as a receiver, you can't get off the jam in a man situation. That's very, you know, your coach is going to just hammer home, like, how can you not get off? How can you? And this is what me and David had talked about earlier today. I was like, we don't have nuanced route runners at our 2 and 3. You know, Devonta, yeah, route guy junior, but the other 2 and 3s aren't nuanced route runners where they can set themselves up for success, especially with Hurts, who's not like super, super accurate. So that the combination of those two, you either have to have another dynamic guy opposite him, a veteran guy, playmaker, you know, but you're literally going into the wolves with that setup.
Who is to blame for the whole Rager debacle? Because I mean, it seemed like I remember the video. Everybody remembers the video at the beginning of the year where Sirianni's talking about banana routes, and you stick your foot in the ground and go. You make that cut. Like, what? It sounded like he had the idea of how he should be coaching this guy up. Did Rager just not absorb anything? Is that what it was?
Listen, Rager wasn't absorbing shit in that game. All right, whether if it was catching punts, whether if it was receiving, whether if it was even getting on the field. It looked like he had tripped just stepping onto the damn field. He couldn't get himself together, man. He was on straight stupid mode that day. And it was frustrating, man. Like, look, it got to a point where I stepped out for 2 seconds because I'm getting ready to go ahead and do a halftime conversion over to my brothers to watch the rest of this game. And all I stepped out was for 2 seconds, and then I come in, and Autumn's giving me this look like, I'm like, what? She's like, don't turn around. I'm like, what do you mean don't turn around? He fumbled the ball. He fumbled the fucking ball? Are you serious? Like, I went off. I went off on her. And I'm like, I was like, that's it. Get the kids. I did an Evan. I was like, get the kids. We're leaving. All right? We're out. I'm done with this dude, man. He's over here catching the goddamn punts like if he's posting for a TikTok or for an Instagram post. Like, bro, what the fuck are you doing catching the ball like that? You know, you got all these grown-ass, big-ass men coming your way, and you want to go ahead and catch the ball with the tip of your fingers? Like, what's wrong with you? You're in the NFL. Get your shit together.
I remember I was in the line for the bathroom at that point. I had to go, and I'm, like, trying to look at the Jumbotron, and then I'm hearing the sound. I'm like, no, No. I mean, it couldn't have been at the worst time.
Yeah. Momentum, I mean, swing wise, yeah.
You talk about making errors and talking about a common denominator in the conversations that were had in the pressers from the players was starting slow. Starting slow. You cannot start slow against a team like the Bucks. And they did. You can't make errors like you did against the Bucks, and you did. So,
but it goes even deeper than that. We were screwed from Jump Street, man. I mean, David Johnson brings it up right here. A wide receiving core consisting of J-Jaw, Rager, Hightower, Quez. Bro, this is what it goes to after you hit Devontae Smith. You hit Devontae Smith first on the depth chart, and then it goes to J-Jaw, Rager, Hightower, Quez. Look at teams like the Rams, actual contenders right now. They got Cooper Kupp. They got Odell Beckham. Fuck it. Van Jefferson is better than – Van Jefferson would be a wide receiver two on this team.
Those two guys are making Van Jefferson a great guy. Like, yeah. That's – I mean, if we really think about it
– also route that.
Had we played our cards the right way and drafted who us fans really wanted, and if they would have listened to us, you know what I mean? We would have had Justin Jefferson on our squad, DJ Metcalf on our squad. All right, well, Devontae
Smith. We would have had one of them, because if we would have gotten one of them, then we wouldn't have needed him the following year. But yeah.
Okay, you're right. I was actually going to go with two out of the three. I mean, I would have done DJ Metcalf, Justin Jefferson back-to-back. Maybe yeah. Devontae wouldn't be here. But I mean, those are the type of weapons that we needed, and we decided to go with these bums.
Yeah, and you know what the sad part about that is that now we're staring down the barrel of probably drafting another first-round wide receiver this year. What is this, 2-3 years in a row? Three years at least.
I mean, whatever it is to get better. I mean, you obviously can play the board, but I mean, like if a guy like Garrett Wilson was staring you in the face and like, and he's on the board, like I wouldn't stop from like bringing another playmaker guy in here, or because if you don't get one in as a free agent. But I mean, it's time to like, you really gotta get guys in here that can step up and make plays, man. It's not even like rocket science. Like, who's consistently making plays, who's showing up and showing out. I mean, Quez has come up and made some big catches here and there, and that you like his ability to take the top off the defense. But, you know, overall, you know, it's just been, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we played the Bucks. We played a really good team who dealt with a lot of injuries. You played Tom Brady, who was trolling Eagles Nation with Meek Mills, catching the ball on the sideline.
I couldn't even get mad at that, bro.
I couldn't either.
It's an elite trash talker, bro. Like, what am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm in the stadium. I remember at one point where, you know, all these Buck fans are looking at you because there's like three of us. It was me, Mel, and Mally. And I'm smiling because they have this chant. It's like, B-U-C-C-C. They spell out Buccaneers, and it's so annoying. I think Fly Eagles, Fly Guy, the fight song has got to be annoying to other fan bases, but theirs was super, and we're getting our asses kicked. And, like, grandmothers are laughing at me, looking at me like, and I'm like, and I started laughing. I was like, I can't do nothing. Like, I'm going to sit here, embrace it.
Take it on the chin, yeah.
Take it on the chin. This is the second time leaving that stadium where I felt dumb as rocks, but we had no answer.
I hate to break it to you, but I texted Prime after that game. I was like, love that I'm not driving home from that right now.
That's a bad ride home, bro.
No, but
it was the same atmosphere with me, man. Like I said, I go to my brothers. Those guys are happy as hell as soon as I walk in. They're giving me all, and I was prepared for it. You know what I mean? Even as we're pulling up to the house, Autumn's like, are you ready for this shit? I'm like, listen, I'm good. Because, you know, the second half, the later game, is the important game that somebody needs to win in order for, you know, for them to go ahead and fulfill their trash talking. It got to a point where I was just like, look, do whatever. We started talking all types of shit. I even started taking shots for every touchdown they would score from that point on.
So Dallas, I got the Eagles.
I got the two touchdowns in, so I had two nice shots. I was like, hey, I'll take it. You know what I mean? But what else was there? There was nothing left. There was nothing left in the tank. They didn't have shit for them. Buccaneers just kicked our ass in three different type of ways, bro.
And like that's the type of thing that I don't want to overreact to this loss, because It was ugly, man. Don't get me wrong. It was ugly. I think that we really came out there and shat the bed. But let's be real. The Bucks are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They're a complete team. I was not – like, it would have been awesome to win that game. But in reality, it wasn't very likely that we were going to win that game. What happened was probably the most likely scenario. If I would have liked it if we showed a little bit more fight. I like that we kind of got some garbage time points up there, I guess, so that we didn't get completely blown out. But it was still embarrassing at the end of the day.
But that's what an elite team looks like. That's
That's a team that has a chance of winning a Super Bowl this year.
And you just look at your squad and like, well, this is where our weaknesses are. And you know, but you guys talk about, you know, the ride home back. You're like, the L sucked, but you know, I did stop at 2 Nike outlets. That was key. At one point, I was like, I'm doing me. I'm going to Nike outlet.
We were all texting yesterday and you guys said you were on your way home. We were going to record a podcast tomorrow night. I was like, if there was a Tanger outlet on the way, there ain't no way.
I stopped at 2 Tanger outlets. You're talking about the drive back. No, I mean, cause this trip was great. Like we had a really great time. Starting off, you know, we had a pep rally that we had, shout out to, Philly Sports Trips. And Philly South, they put on this at Tampa Joe's, and you know, like I always say, Eagle fans, travel, go ahead and make these experiences because you never know. So I got an opportunity. I ended up talking to Devontae Smith's family, got to hang out with them for a little bit. Shout out to his dad who looks just like him.
The guy on the left,
on the right.
Well, it's left to you.
His mom is swaggy as hell. Look at mom's swag. His mentor was on the left. That was his barber, the guy who would bring him to all his practices and stuff.
That was his barber. Okay.
Yeah. So he's the guy that brought him to all those practices and just made a really good connection with him. Actually wants some custom sneakers done, but just met a lot of really good people. Shout out to Trey Thomas was there. I got to meet his coaching squad at IMG, and one of his coaches on his staff was a big fan of Fourth and John.
Nice.
So so it was just cool to see. And then we did this impromptu party thing. We rolled up there on Friday, locked in this party at 9 o'clock on Friday. This shout out to Mugs because they gave us this huge thing here for free. They said, fill it up if you want.
A stage.
So we had food there. Eagle fans just rolling in from all over the place. Shout out to a lot of those guys who showed up at the tailgate the next day. But, you know, overall, we had a good time. You know, good vibes. Shout out to Muggs for holding us down. And then the next day, shout out to Jennifer Slay, man. Jennifer Slay showed up to the tailgate with Darius Slay's mom. She was Darius Slay's mom, wanted a cheeseburger. Shout out to Mally who made her cheeseburger.
Nice.
Jennifer Slay was super cool. Everything that you've seen her on the timeline, she's actually, that is who she is. Very, very warm spirit, cares about Eagle fans. And overall, we had a good time. It was all impromptu stuff on Saturday, but a lot of good connections were made. And that's the only thing holding me together was those moments that we had. I tell you one thing, I paid $600 to park 2 cars.
I still can't even get over that.
Another reason I'm happy. Yeah.
Hey, but this is what we do for Eagle fans.
Oh man.
To put on a tailgate.
Like, bro, that's straight up robbery, dog.
Gail's the MVP, bro.
I'm saying this is what it's about. We got to meet a lot of you guys in the chat. I think it was Todd was there. I saw Jacob Walker there who hand delivered some Louisiana hot sauce. So we're gonna do a little tasting of the hot. Oh, see, don't forget that. We're gonna do a little tasting of the hot sauce, maybe on some eggs on the show.
Wow, camera. I'm in. Yeah,
I'm in. I'm definitely in.
All right, but I know just overall, Eagle fans have been in their bag, and I think the only thing that made us feel a little bit better was probably Dallas losing? With
that? All right, listen. Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. Everybody remember this?
Yeah, that was the best part of the day.
It's over. The game is over. Oh, yeah,
how dumb are they, bro? And for them to have the audacity to come out there and blame it on anybody but themselves. They went into that game. I'm sorry. They went into the fourth quarter down like 23-7. Was that the ref's fault? Was that the ref's fault that you guys were down fucking almost 20 points going into the fourth quarter?
Ask my brother that. Listen, it was the best. I took that L to the chin, and then as I was getting ready, my brother literally kicked everybody off the sofa. He said, now the real team's about to play, and I didn't move. I said, I'm staying right here. You're going to hear my mouth, and I volunteered to take a shot for every time the 49ers score. And then I even offered to volunteer to take shots when, you know, CC Lamb would go ahead and do his little gesture.
Yeah.
So he did that twice. Shout out to my boy Marcus, because you know he was the reason why I took the shots. So I got two shots off.
Where were we taking shots of, by the way?
Remy Martin, baby. Remy Martin.
Okay.
Yeah, so all total, I mean, what was the score that day?
It was like 23-17 or something.
I had like four shots in that, two shots for the gestures, six shots plus my two shots, eight shots. I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah,
I was
feeling good. Like it.
And then I took another shot just because they won. But listen, that last play, oh man, my brother, he couldn't stand me. He wanted to kick me out. I think this is the maddest I've seen my brother. But I just laughed because I wish he was on here now, because, you know, he finds his way on here every other week. But today he's not going to be on here. But he comes out and he tells me, hey, you know, we're getting there. We're close. What? What did you say?
Close to what?
Your brother called.
You were supposed to win the Super Bowl.
No, your brother called me and like he FaceTimed me, and I'm like, why? First of all, I was like, I'm looking at Chris, like he looked way too calm for like. I was like, bro, you. This is our year. I literally pulled off on the side of the road in some East bumfuck town to put out a meme just because I was like, I gotta get this meme. Chris, like, what are you doing? We just got gas. I'm like, I gotta pull off the side of the road to get this meme off. And then we were talking to your brother, and I'm like, why is he so calm? Like, this squad was, your offense was stacked. You had a defensive almost player of the year. Like, you had edge rushers that were getting to the quarterback. You had a great Quinn was in the house, solidified the D. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, and we all as Eagle fans collectively, like, y'all gonna get bounced in the first round. All gonna get bounced in the first round, and that happens. So that made me feel good inside.
Listen, well, you know what makes me even feel better inside is the fact that like we lost to a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You can't convince me a second that the 49ers are gonna get past Green Bay in the next round. 49ers are gonna get fucking smoked, and I like if we played the 49ers, I'd like to think that we'd win. But I can't say that because ultimately it's our own fault that. Didn't seed us higher. It's our own fault that we didn't end up in a better position where we were playing a lower seed, and we ended up playing the number two seed going to the playoffs. That's on us. But with that being said, I truly do think the Eagles win versus the 49ers in the playoffs.
I got to say, man, that, you know, just seeing the way that that played out, the expectations those Cowboys fans had all year, and then to get bounced. Now, What topped it off is that I wake up the very next day. This is the funniest shit. I wake up the very next day, and you know how Facebook, you guys got Facebook.
Of course.
They come with your memories from years ago.
Yep.
4 years ago, exactly to this day, and it was a memory that showed up when they got bounced 4 years ago, and I posted it. So I reposted it and said, listen, don't blame me. Facebook is the one that came up with the memory. But fucking right, I'm going to post the shit out of it. Memes lined up for the rest of the week, man.
That made my day, man. I was I needed that pick-me-up. Between Nike outlet and the memes. The
cameraman at that game already knew. It's meme time. I got to go get whoever I can and their reaction, and it's meme time.
Oh, yeah.
man, that whole out of that stadium, there was like a good 10 memes that came out of that
place. Oh yeah, all the people that were, you know, crying in the stands, the faces.
We had another couple that was sitting there all like
holding each other and embrace. Yeah.
There was a picture that I put out there. I didn't put it out because I was like that meme I put out was good enough to sting some fans. So I'm, I got that meme off. I felt a little good. And then I got back on the road for another 10 hours.
Can you believe I had a Washington football fan talking shit to me earlier today?
Oh man,
a 19-year-old Washington football fan crawling in my mentions talking about, oh, you guys talked all this shit just to get bounced in the first round. I'm like, dog. I was like, you're 19 years old.
You brought the stats out on it.
Best season you ever saw on your team was a 10-6 RG3 rookie season. That's your entire life right there. That's it. Yep. Who the fuck are you, bro?
the wild thing about being in Tampa, right, is there's a lot of Tom Brady stands, and there's a lot of like bandwagon. Like, you know how many people that I ran into that this guy that was sitting right next to Mel was like, you know, I'm actually a Bills fan, and now I'm a Bucks fan. And then I met another woman at Mugs. She was saying, what are y'all Eagle fans doing now? You guys are crazy, very passionate. I'm actually a Washington fan, and now I'm a Brady fan, Brady Bucks fan. And I'm like, so you're like a bandwagon fan? She's like, no, I'm just a fan of Brady, so I root on the Bucks. That's my second team now.
So you're a bandwagon fan.
I kept hearing this over and over again, like, yeah. Oh, we got to root for the Bucks now. I mean, Brady's made us. So the first time I went there was a couple years ago. The vibe from then to now, way different. Like, you see there's a little they're all puffing their chest out. There's like it's smug. It's like Patriots South now. Like,
yeah.
Because I've seen that happen in Connecticut when there was no Patriots fans. Now there's extra Buck fans. That it's definitely funny though. Definitely funny.
I'm really just trying to get the whole, what is it? Mark, I agree. What the hell is a second favorite team? Like,
that's my secondary religion.
What's your AFC team, guys? What's your AFC
team? I don't
have
an AFC team. I don't have,
because a lot of people say my second team is on the AFC side.
How many of those Bucks fans that you met down there do you think would know who Josh Freeman was?
Probably those. No, they wouldn't know.
Yeah,
you probably had one that maybe thought Josh Freeman was still on the team.
Bro, hey, I was just like, look at y'all. Like, I was like, because you guys didn't look like this before. Mm. I ain't never seen you act like this before.
I'm also, you know, there's some talk going on about the beard going on here. I got the baby face going on. When I tell you, I told them right before we hopped on, I was waking up and that beard was in my mouth, bro. It was disgusting. And as soon as we lost that game, it was maybe 30 minutes after, I was like, well, I'm taking this fucking beard off. No sense in having it anymore. That thing was so annoying by the end of it.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, after a while your beard gets like really itchy.
Itchy, yeah.
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 Why don't you just shave low?
A good job of covering my double chin though, so I kind of do mess up.
Now you just gotta hit the gym, man. Talk about hitting the gym. The Eagles have to hit the gym. I mean, there's a lot that they really have to get in there, get their routine right. You know, what body parts they need to work. And build up, like, what is going on here? I mean, I think Eagle fans collectively, all at the same time, thought that they could figure out what to do next season on the day after the L. I think it started probably like 2 hours after the game. Like, Kim Malley's just like, don't log into Twitter, man. It's fucking war going on right now. It's just awful. Don't log in. So I wasn't looking, and I started looking around today, and everyone's trying to figure out. There's all these different. Russell Wilson was big today.
Yeah, it's all the same names we've kind of been hearing all year long. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Derek Carr even got thrown in there.
Clutch points with a graphic here. Kind of. I mean, you look at the photo and you look at, you know, where Jalen Hurts is here. Shout out to Clutch Points for that.
I even saw a couple Kaepernick ones.
Was that AJ? Did I got seen AJ mention
somebody threw Kaepernick.
I understand, but the dude hasn't played in half a decade now. We can probably put that one to bed.
I just took a glimpse real quick and then I just shut it down. Yeah, I definitely didn't stay on the even see any more stupidity.
I think all of these options are worth being pursued. I think that they're all worth having conversations about and finding out what the price is going to be. Because like I said at the top of the show, Jalen Hurts didn't pass the eye test for me, man. If I'm a GM, if I'm Howie Roseman, his number one responsibility is to make this team better in every position, if possible, this offseason. His job is to try and improve every single position. If you have the opportunity to do so, and you're able to get an Aaron Rodgers on this team, think about who Aaron Rodgers can pull in himself. You know what I mean? Like, Tom Brady went to the Bucks. He pulled Gronk out of retirement. And, like, I'm just saying that if you bring in a big name like that, like an Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, there's free agents that are going to be a lot more willing that are going to be willing to sign here. But yeah, what's absolutely the price that you're willing to give up? I'm not willing to give up all three of these first next this coming year.
No, I think
if we did a combination of, like, a first this year and a first next year.
That's probably what it would be.
If they would
trade, that, you know, they'd probably throw Hurts in there if they were to go down that route. But it's just crazy. Mel brought up a comment. I forgot to tell this story. She's like, "Yo, Gail, I felt so bad for Chris. That woman Bucks fan was annoying. There was she was on a little on the beefier side who was bullying Chris out of his seat. Really? She was just looking at Chris and, like, all the Buck fans were apologizing to Chris for the way that she was acting because she was just acting like Chris couldn't sit in his own seat. And the lady was just like
spilling over into his seat.
Yes. And Chris was like, "Lady, where do you want me to go?" And, you know, Chris is a nice dude, but Chris was like very, very heated at one point. He's like, "I'm getting out of here." Like, he got up and was heated off. I was just like, man. And it was just funny. And Mel actually was the one that sat next to that Bills fan. So he can attest to the tomfoolery that was going on in there. But now Mark says
is it true, man? I heard there was quite a bit of fights in the stands.
I only saw one fight.
I heard there was like about a good four or five fights.
Wow. Yeah. And did you guys happen to see those Eagles fans that snuck into the Cowboys stadium and started throwing stuff at the players and refs as they were going into the tunnel?
Was it us?
No, it wasn't. I was making a joke at the fact that's the narrative all the time, that we're the worst.
Okay. My bad. Went somewhere back there.
Now, Matthew says, "Check your Twitter." So Matthew shared along with us a meme. It's quite funny.
Did you grab it?
I did. Bring it in now. Pretty funny. Pretty funny. Let's see here.
The Bill fans, though.
Ain't that crazy, man?
Bill fans. I love that, dude. I hope that's a new tradition.
And then the world player's like, "What the fuck?"
It's not even the first time.
Oh, Orlando said he's sending the sauces. The sauces, hot sauces out. Yeah. We're going to have hot sauce fest out here.
Hey, man, you said it. Let's make it happen.
Maybe we should grill out. Put some chicken.
At the crib, you know what I mean? I'll take one of those hot sauces for that special occasion.
Shout out to Matthew for this this meme here of Cowboy fans. My mama said we have five rings. My mama said we still have five rings. And if you guys that are listening to the show, it's a picture of, I think that was
Cardi B.
Cardi B as a kid. And that some dude named Jerome that looks like Cardi B. that's pretty funny. I like it. Oh, I mess with that one.
I like the meme with the lady yelling at the cat.
Oh yeah.
Somebody made that meme. I couldn't stop laughing about that
one. A lot of people in here asking about. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, Gil. A lot of people in here are talking about Brandon Brooks and him potentially retiring. Haven't heard anything concrete about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does end up retiring this year. I mean, he's had injury problems, and while he would be severely missed, I kind of am in the stance that we kind of went the entire year without him. I think that our offensive line held up pretty well, and that's $20 million saved off the cap if he ends up retiring. So,
yeah, that was.
I would welcome him back, but at the same time, if he chooses to hang up the cleats now, I wish him the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hey, man's got us a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah,
he was a big part of that. I think his body. We still don't know if that's, you know. I mean, you know, Luke Stanfield. Shout out to Luke. You know, former 4th and John writer. He still had his old 4th and John stuff up there. So I say, hey man, you got to take our stuff out of your body because I don't want to be tied into a rumor. I don't know. I mean, like, no. Kudos to Luke if he got the story right, but that's, you know, his story. But again, I don't usually put stuff out there if
it's not concrete. Yeah.
You know, so that's what it is. All is well. I mean, overall, I mean, the thing that sucks about any end of a football season, like anyone who's played on a team or a football team, at the end of the year, you clean out your lockers and you look over to the next man, like, you know, you kind of look at him. You don't have to even say. Everyone's thinking the same thing. Like, this is the last time this team is going to be together in the same locker room. Like, you might not even, like I told a story about, like, I didn't see my teammates for 20 years after leaving that locker room. This is the last time you're going to see some of these, all these guys together in the same room. Every team has their own identity. Each year it switches out. So these guys have had a roller coaster season. They've had a young staff that came in here, got to the playoffs. We still have question marks. And moving forward, they have to – this could be one of the biggest off seasons that we've seen in a long time. Like remember when we brought in, like, a Javon Curse and a T.O., like, and infusing two great free agents to a team. And it changed the atmosphere of this team. Like, you know, you got an edge rusher who you had a playmaking wide receiver. Like, I'm not going to say that team is to the level of what that team was, but they had some pieces. But like, you never know. Like, I'm really excited about this offseason. I mean, what's one move that if you were GM that would be the first move that you make?
Are you talking about in the draft?
I already know primes.
Cut Rager, is that primes?
That's primes. I already read his mind.
Yeah.
I, two for one.
I mean, yeah, like the first thing you got to do is clear up space. But like, if I'm thinking of what the game plan is for this entire offseason, we really, really need to strengthen up our defense. Because if you're just looking at who's going to be going, we need safeties. We need a second corner. We need linebackers. Like, we need air. We need we need defensive tackles. We need edge rushers. We need pretty much everything on defense, man. So that would be where I would start, is just going on a full out sprint, trying to bolster up this defense.
I did see Brian's comment. He said, "I'm tired of Wilson, Watson, Rogers talk. They have no trade clauses, but they can waive them."
Yeah.
So we can still talk about him, Brian. No Korean barbecue for you. No, we're taking Meanie out to Korean barbecue. I'm telling you. Prime, he's been Han Solo. He's frozen. There you go. There you go. What would be when your one move that has to be made?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I've truthfully been getting a little excited about this whole Calvin Ridley talk these past couple weeks. I think that would be a good acquisition to the team. I know it's going to cost us maybe one of those first round picks, or, like, you know, Evan had mentioned earlier, they could maybe go a different direction and maybe do a first round next year or, you know, the year after.
But if that is some truth to that talk, I like that. I think that'll be a big move.
Another route guy. I know Devontae Smith always talks about Ridley's route running. But, I mean, you know, I've heard that talk a lot in terms of where he is at mentally. It's not the norm for a guy to actually sit out a whole season. Does that concern you guys?
Go ahead. My bad.
What was his reasoning behind not playing? Was it contract issue? Was it at a guy like Le'Veon Bell? He sat out an entire season, and then he came back, and it's not like he had the best season ever, but he still came back and was serviceable.
Well, he said he was dealing with mental health.
We've had guys that have dealt with that in the past too.
Are you going to give a first round pick for that? Is what I'm. Does that concern you? If you're saying, hey, we want a one for a guy who missed the whole season.
Ridley would be awesome, but ever since I had the idea planted in my head that if Rodgers leaves Green Bay, Devontae Adams is going to want out. And if those two series of events ends up happening and Rodgers leaves, regardless of where he goes, whether here, there, wherever, do everything you can to pair up Devontae Adams with Devontae Smith. Bro, do everything you can. You got the cap space. You want to talk about bringing in the best wide receiver in the league here, bro?
Ooh, route running? Come on, route running would be silly.
He's a god, bro. He's unbelievable. And if you have him opposite of Devontae Smith, imagine what that does for Devontae Smith. That makes him the second wide receiver on the team. He's wide open, bro.
It'll be ridiculous. Cornerbacks would be going ape. Yeah. Ape shit. Looking at some of the comments here, Mark, his one move that he would do would be fire Gannon. Or if Gannon gets hired by another team, he got the interview with Houston today.
It sounded like it went well, too.
Hopefully. I don't know. You know, Orlando said defense. Dill Piccolo, LOL. He says cut Rager. Kelly says Marcus Williams. Chris. Shout out to Chris, veteran tailgater himself, veteran wide receiver. Matthew says Rager and J-Jaw are done.
Oh, please, bro. Like I swear to God, if either of those guys are in an Eagles uniform next year, I'm going to go apeshit. Like, I'm really going to lose my mind. I can't watch another. You can't convince me that you're going to turn Rager around at this point. You can't convince me that J-Jaw is a good enough blocker to earn a spot on this team, bro. He's a wide receiver. He needs to do more than that. He needs to make himself useful other than block.
Now, Matthew talks about another topic that's been on the timeline. Get a damn linebacker. Where the way that our picks are set up and the way that the prospects are set up right now, you know, a guy like N'Kobe Dean from Georgia, you know, a little field general, holding his team accountable, Devin Lloyd from Utah. So, I mean, those guys, potentially, there's some free agent linebackers that are also going to be out there.
They could be there, but if you look at how Howie Roseman's mind is set up.
Yeah.
Take first-round linebackers.
Yeah, like
all these wants and all these thoughts, but at the end of the day, Howie has the last word, man.
Mm-hmm. Jason's move here, he says, I'm resigning Kelsey if he wants to come back. Looking at Calvin Ridley or Devontae Adams. I mean, though, like any of those moves right there are – amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting a veteran wide receiver.
Having Kelsey back next year is truly an underrated thing. I mean, obviously, I'm the Jason Kelsey stan, bro. I love Jason Kelsey. But if in reality, like having Landon Dickerson in that guard position, the left guard, and having Kelsey out on the field, having those two guys on the field at the same time, those are two dominant players. And you put them in between two dominant tackles, that's four-fifths of the line is elite.
Now, Mr. Goldhammer says, help Slay out while we got him. You know, Sauce Gardner, talking about these hot sauce that are Sauce Gardner, that would be awesome. Like, Orlando, you need to reach out and say, hey, Sauce, I got my hot sauce. We can come together, form some Philadelphia Eagle alliance. Then you got your starting cornerback opposite of Slay. I heard some dumbass shit about, like, first of all, shout out to the Slays again, and Jennifer Slay for showing, and Mama Slay for just showing up to tailgate, first of all.
Talk about trading, but Slay.
Trading fucking Slay. Get the. I don't really swear a lot, but you could get like 6 F bombs out of me in one sentence. Like what? How long have we been waiting for a cornerback to come in here and be just serviceable? Not just serviceable. This guy's been elite. He's been top 5. Like his. Yeah, how many touchdowns has this man scored? Like his family came in here and gave y'all jerseys. You fucking ungrateful swine out here. Like, what are you?
No, I completely agree with you, dude. I saw that on the timeline. They're out there talking about, well, think about the maximum value you can get in return. Well, the maximum value, you know what is maximum value in this league? Is an elite cornerback. And we already got one. That's like that Family Guy skit with the mystery box or a new boat.
You can max
anything. It could even be a new boat.
Yo, max these nuts. Bro. Come, get the hell out of here, bro. Like, I saw that. And I was like, come on, man. Like, well, why? Like, why?
Because
why?
I truly think there's a lot of Eagles fans out there that like the big splash move rather than just a roster that makes sense. They like going out there and having that huge splash where everyone's like, oh my God, can you believe the Eagles did that? That's what they live for. And it's not even a good Eagles roster. It just has to be, you know, oh my God, we got Byron Maxwell.
How many, like Darius Slay has been every bit of that word, big play Slay, coming up big plays. Like you could, yeah, the man was making so many plays, they put him on offense. When was the last time you saw any cornerback for the Eagles on an offensive unit?
I'll wait.
Yeah. Fucking, like, all those people that didn't get jerseys out there are probably like.
That's why I just said they didn't get jerseys. That's the water, man.
And I'm talking to Jennifer at the tailgate, and I'm like, now I'm sorry about, you know, because I'm like, I said fans are ruthless out there. She's like, you know, I got so much heat for giving y'all jerseys. She like, you know, I was like, I had no idea.
No idea, right?
I said, you know what? I said, Evan doesn't need a jersey, or Prime doesn't need a jersey. So I'm like, since they're not here, I said, since they're not here, just keep them. You know, give it to someone else. They'll be okay. They'll be all right. No, she said she's sending them. So she's sending them. But yeah, man, Eagle fans are ruthless, man. Eagle fans are ruthless.
He's not lying, Ev. You know that, right? He's not lying. He made that comment.
Yeah, right.
I believe him.
Always looking out for you, scrubs. I actually have a souvenir for one of y'all.
How long did she stay? How long did the family and her stay?
It was funny because she was there for like a half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like
you mentioned to her about actually coming to
Yeah, I said, you know how we do. Like this is like impromptu. That's why I said impromptu when we first put it out there, because the way that the weather was set up, yo, I'm telling you, like everyone was like freaking out. Like, is it gonna rain? Mally's like, we're gonna be underwater. Like,
he was building the grill too.
Yo, we found out Jennifer's coming at like 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night. I'm like, yo, we don't have. I was like, shit. So we're at Home Depot in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. Mally's building the grill at the tailgate. The wind is blowing. Lowski's tent is flying in the air. We got to put Bud Light to hold down the side. We weren't there.
You
see what happens?
Yeah. So then security comes over and is like, look, you guys are in like 4 spots. I'm like, there's no one here. I spent $600 on parking. Can you give me a hand, bro? He's like, well, I could say something about your loudspeakers. I'm like, are you serious? So Jennifer's walking across the parking lot, and I'm like, she's walking to the wrong tailgate. So I'm like, I'll let her go that way. Give us some time to set up. As soon as we're set up, I'm like, I went over, and they were at Philly Sports Trips, and I'm like, hey, Jennifer. She's like, oh, like, I'm here to tailgate with you guys. So I'm coming with y'all. So the whole family walked back over, and Darius Slay's mom was pretty funny. She's a real one too. But
yeah.
But overall, we made it through the whole tailgate, and all of a sudden the wind just gusted out of nowhere, picked up the tent, knocked over Lowski's speaker. rips out of his whole Mac, yeah, the whole setup. Like the music was gone. We were just like, all right, bro, we're gonna shut this one down.
Time to wrap it up.
Dang. But yeah, it was because everyone thought everything was gonna the rain was gonna be crazy, and it was expected that was gonna be crazy, but it really wasn't. You know, when it did start raining, when Jalen threw that was the interception. That's when it started raining, and I was like, and that's when my feelings were like, yo, Kagata, are you playing with us right now? Because it's over. It is over now.
You see what's going on here?
Oh,
oh man.
I wonder if this is the lady who she said she was going to show up to one of our live streams and say something.
She said, hey, man, we got to take it to the chin. It's all good. She can have the last laugh.
Bro, we lost to the Bucks. It's not like we went into that game and said, you know what? This is our year. We had not one point.
That'd be embarrassing if we did something like that.
We did.
Won a division and just talk all this shit and then get blown out by, like, you know, a team that's way lesser than you. That'd be embarrassing.
The comments, let's bring it all in. Where's he at? Where are you at, bro?
Sergeant Sarcasm, I hope, is living up to his name with this comment right here.
Oh, yeah.
We bring in Big Ben. I'm jumping off of Big Ben, bro. I'm jumping off the Ben Franklin.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's like a former, like, bro. That not even was that a joke?
Yeah,
His name's Sergeant Sarcasm, bro.
Oh yeah, is Allen Robinson a free agent? He is a free agent now?
I believe he is a free agent, yeah. But I'm scared to bring another bear to the squad, man.
Oh, Brian is hammered in. He said, "I want Korean barbecue. B, those dudes want to come here. Watson wants Flores as his coach. Rogers wants to be a 49er. Wilson's wife would want some place more glamorous." Agreed. Come on, man. What's more glamorous than cheesesteaks?
Sierra. Come on.
Look at that face. Look at that face.
You're like, you're going to pass up.
I'll let you put whatever topping you want, Sierra, on whatever cheesesteak you want.
You're going to pass up Chickies and Pete's for New York City restaurants? You're like, Chickies and yeah, have you tried the crab fries? Huh?
Oh, man.
Mike Williams. Free agent. He's you talking about you talking about that big bodied target? That's a guy that
he's a young guy too.
Big dude, man. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts. And there's at one point in on the drive back, I was like, you know what? The season's over, man. Like, the season's like all the stuff we did this year. You know, I thought about the time when me and Prime went down and he was sleeping all the way down and we got to Atlanta. Go. You know, this the road trip to Atlanta, which was great. Us just like in a pandemic state. It wasn't a normal year.
You good?
Wasn't a normal year.
That's all I got up to ask was, yo, you good?
You good? You good? Okay. And it was all I remember from that Atlanta road trip was Prime sleeping and pork rinds. That's all I remember. No, but I mean, like, we've all collectively been like going on these road trips up to New York, back in Carolina, scooters. Yeah. Meeting a lot of people that we didn't meet for the first time. Tailgates in a pandemic state. How weird is that? That was one of the first tailgates we had where people were like 6 feet apart.
We didn't have any 6 feet apart tailgates
in the beginning? In the beginning?
In the beginning. Yeah, that first one.
It was weird. That was weird. It was weird. It was weird.
I think you have a fictional memory there.
It's fact.
All right. Fact. You talking about the game where we went to versus San Fran? We were sitting so high up. So high up.
Don't mention that again.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, in general, there were fans that were like weirded out. That were weirded out.
Yeah, but like it's not like we were walking around the tailgate like, hey, 6 feet.
But I saw people that were weirded.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, like, it's a weird time, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That was the point of the whole topic.
So, it was.
I'm feisty after the Eagles get kicked out of the season.
It was great all around. The tailgates we put together, like you have said, man, meeting new people, coming back after the pandemic. It was fun, man. That's pretty much that was in the back of my mind. Like, damn, all that shit just came to an end, just like that.
You know, I still have beer left over. I want to also give a big shout out to everyone that showed up, man, to tailgates and contributed in their special way. Or there's shout out to Jeff. I met Jeff for the first time. He said he made the statement. He's like, it's, you know, from the comments to actually meeting you in real life. And then it's like, oh, I feel like I know you guys, you know, like people of common topic of her. Like, I feel like I lived through you guys. I'm on the road with you guys, even though I'm not there. Like, I love when you talk about food at the end of the show, you know, just regular, you know, conversations that, but going back to Jeff, he ended up hooking us up with beer when everything was going crazy. He's like, look, dude, I'll go get beer. Don't worry about it. Next day shows up with beer, you know, 10 cases of beer. And this, it's really about everyone coming together that makes all these things a good time and just a memorable time. I saw two guys, one was from KC, one was from Georgia, that came out on Saturday. And the next day they showed up together. That's what we're talking about. Bring people together and have a good time. I've met my two Black and Filipino brothers on the road. One lives in New Orleans. The other one lives in Denver. So we formed an alliance. We're going to start a boy band at my old age.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in, bro.
I'll
record for you guys.
We're going to be called the Black Flips.
I fucking love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I mean, just overall, just bands coming together. What was your favorite part? What was your favorite play of the season?
On the field?
Yep. Favorite play of the season.
It's kind of a loaded question. I'm going to say, I don't remember who the opponent was. I just remember standing up in the stands watching it. When Jalen Hurts, he broke some ankles. He got real freaky.
Saints game was one of them.
Yeah, and he ended up scoring a touchdown on that play. But I remember as soon as he put that juke in, and it was the Saints. Now that I think about it, I was thinking of the replay. And that Saints player fell down on his back. I did a full 360 in the stands. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, that guy. He just broke his ankles. That was probably, while I'm just sitting here thinking about moments, that's the first one that came to my mind.
Sergeant Sarcasm says, you guys are awesome. Wish we could do more Zoom version so we could actually talk. We're going to open up a
whole off season, bro.
Friday, free form Friday, where everyone could just speak their piece. Cause there's going to be a lot of shit talking during the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not going anywhere just cause the season's over. Fourth and John's going to continue putting out episodes. So, you don't have to worry about no hiatuses, no nothing. We'll be here.
Now, Mark says his favorite moment was the Lane Johnson TD. That was a nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree on that one.
Yeah.
Chris says Hurts versus Saints.
Mm-hmm.
A nice moment for me, I'd say, would be the fumble recovery by Slay. Like, it looked like that dude. Looked like that dude was like a cartoon character. His legs were just. I was like, bro, is he that much faster than
that?
Like,
that was the game we were all watching together. And
That was a good time.
that was a good time. Mine was the Slay interception run back where he hopped the stands and stood over the crowd.
Yeah.
That was my play of the season. But the game for me was the one that we really interacted with the fans. And I think it was that Giants game. That was like that last Giants game, you know, mm-hmm. that we started wilding out. I mean, COVID wasn't even
The we had beer flying over.
And then Gail's wondering who threw beer on. He even went back to the instant replay on his damn phone.
That guy. I remember that.
I was like, dude.
That was probably the fun time. And hands down, bro, the road trips we took, Atlanta, Charlotte, even up to New York, they were fun, man. They definitely were truly fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, Helene says her favorite one was Melada Pancake and Granderson.
That was great.
Yeah, he was giving him the business. Yeah, how about Melada growing as a player, man? I mean,
growing right in front of our eyes, man. We've seen it grow everywhere.
Like now he's like a cerebral guy. You know, I feel like he's just been a nice addition. Like he just seamlessly became the left tackle. Come on, man. Jason Peters has been here forever. How do you replace Jason Peters that seamlessly?
Yeah, he fit in just perfectly, man. And I love watching his interviews. Like, I look forward to the man talking. I love his accent. And, you know, he spreads love, like, throughout that whole team. He gives props to everybody. So, you know, he's, like I said, he grew right in front of our eyes, man. Just coming into the season and being one of the most productive players, it's just crazy. He's a beast. I mean, he was just beasting guys all season. It was just good to see.
Now, Mr. Sarcasm up here says, now the season's over, are we having a Zoom draft party again this year? I don't know. Like, three first rounds to be in person in Vegas would be.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be a move. But no,
if we're there, that just means that, I mean, it's not like we're not going to be recording content. We'll be
we could do a live show. Yeah, we could do a live show. We could do a live show.
The hotel room, for sure. Have a little Vegas strip going on in the background.
We got Gail in the pit and the first with the first rounders. You know, Mr. Linebacker. imagine that first round linebacker. Let's see. Now, Mr. Goldhammer says Hurts versus the Panthers. That was a gutsy comeback performance.
That was a great comeback. Me and Evan, we called it. We're like, yo. Yep. Coming back, that was fun.
All it took was some Eagles fans getting caught fucking in the stall, and I was like, you know what?
Whoa,
the vibes are right.
Jeez, this guy. Bobby says the Devontae Smith touchdown catch over Patrick. That was kind of my second one. That was nice. I like that one.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice for sure.
Tim says I live in Chicago burbs, and I have seen plenty of A-Rob play, and it's hard to tell right now. But he has either lost a step or completely gave up on the team this season. Don't like the trend. I don't like what the trend that they were trying to do in Chicago anyway. So Jason says Slay's touchdown against Broncos.
I like it.
Oh, Smith first touchdown in ATL.
That was
nice in the corner.
We were there to see it live, so it
that was T.O. vibes, honestly. When T.O. got the touchdown from McNabb on the first play of the season.
Yeah.
Adam Michael Gibbs says
right there. It doesn't go any further.
Melada pancakes. Nice one. I'm agreeing with that one. I am. I'm thinking about our T-shirt should be the Prince. You know, serving up pancakes with Melada's face. That's got to be the one.
Fourth and John, or Sergeant Sarcasm's talking about press credentials. I believe you're going to be down
in Alabama. We got approved for press credentials for the Senior Bowl. But the whole thing is like you got to pass a COVID test 2 days in advance. So I'm putting myself in a cell for the next 3 weeks.
But a cell surrounded by shoes.
Because people don't realize, like, bro, like, I've all my life wanted to go to the Senior Bowl. The fact that now I can go to the Senior Bowl live, to me, is we did it ourselves. Just everyone involved in Fort John has made this possible. So for me to go in person, you know, I'm boosted up. you had to be boosted. By the 18th, so yeah. Today's the 18th, so I'm telling you. But it would be nice to be in the press box, and we all got a tour of the link. Mm. Was it me and Prime, right? Prime?
Yep. I've been on a tour of the link before.
Yep.
But that press box, you can't root on your Eagles, and I think us collectively. Yeah,
that's hard.
you got Prime. Prime has the connect with the CBS cameraman, and he texts him, I'm at seat so-and-so. So get the Jumbotron ready because Prime is in the building. So, you know, Prime during the game will look over to you and be like,
it's coming.
All of a sudden, hey, you hear the music popping and Prime's on the Jumbotron. I'm like, yeah, that's a nice little connect, my guy.
It would be awesome to see Prime in the press box with just, like, keeping calm, taking notes, but with the mask on. That would
be an awesome sight. Can't see my facial expressions. Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm good, man. I don't know.
Yo, how about let's talk about the question of the trip. So word is that you decided to take Denny's over Waffle House.
No, I didn't. Chris was like adamant about like so, Denny's.
Like, all right, so
you're pro Denny's, right?
I fucking love Denny's, bro. I'm gonna take Denny's all fucking day. Waffle House, I've been to a few. They're good, but Denny's, oh man, doesn't stop.
Nah, like, and you guys were saying too, is like the Waffle House looked dingy. All that is the beautiful part about a Waffle House is supposed to look like shit, but the food's banging, man. Like, that's what a Waffle House is.
There it is. Denny's, the Grand Slams, bro. The Grand Slams at Denny's. I'm telling you.
I had the breakfast, and I was like, all right, it's good. It's all right. It's okay. And I was like. Then I put out a thing, was this the wrong decision? And then so on the way back, I said, Chris, we're going to Waffle House. And he's like, I've never been to Waffle House. And if you don't, Chris is very particular about, he's just very particular about things. So he was like, okay, well, I guess we'll go here because it's late at night. I'm like, we got to eat before we go to the hotel, just relax. So we end up in Waffle House. This dude is like super cool, man. Very nice, very... Our waiter was very, like, he was just Southern hospitality. So he goes on into the story and just like, oh, you guys are in Savannah. It's a great, great area. I had a great time. I used to live down there. If you go downtown, you know, hit this where I'm like, we're just going to the hotel. Like, bro, we've been driving 6 hours. We're ready to just crash. And then he continues to go on and tell us the story about how he potentially might have hooked up with Keanu Reeves, allegedly. Now, like, we didn't ask for that. He's like, my boss got upset but we were partying with Keanu Reeves, and let me tell you, I said, bro, okay, great waiter. I gave him a $15 tip because he was hilarious. But yeah, it was a funny story. I'm like.
They say you get a lot of good stories and a lot of good world star videos from our Waffle House, bro.
Yep. Todd lives in Savannah. Okay.
Who does?
Todd. Todd. Lives in Savannah. Todd was giving me the update. He's like, man, when are you going back? Because the roads are bad. The roads are bad. But
here, hold on.
There is a Waffle House on the Delaware, Maryland border. Yes, there is.
I gotta pull it in. But this is all I think about when I hear Denny's. If we have the space for it.
Where is this guy going?
It's one of my favorite videos. You ever hear about the heavy metal concert that was held at a Denny's one time?
No.
That's where my mind goes whenever. What the fuck is up, Denny's? I love
that. Yeah, somebody listening to this show on a podcast, your ears are gonna be blown out. But that was a band going ape shit in a Denny's. It's kind of wild.
Moshing and everything, bro.
Yeah, man.
I think we've officially reached that point.
Yeah. So for y'all who like this. For y'all who like the food talk, there's your food talk, man. So I mean, you know, the season's over, but the season's not over for us. Again, we have a lot to talk about. Draft talk is coming. Draft season is officially started. Just have you know that last week I'm looking at prospects. I went and got some hot coffee. Like, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to check out one more prospect. Just get it in. Just watch some tape. I spilled a hot cup of a flask of coffee all over myself. Oof. How do you, in 30 seconds, I spilled the whole thing all over myself.
Nice.
So my bed sheet looks like Freddy Krueger, not blood, but it looks like.
It looks like you.
It looks brown. My brother opens my door. He's like, dude, what happened in here? I said, it's coffee. I said, it's coffee all the bit. I'm like, I got to get a whole new comforter. But I was that tired watching tape. That's so crazy. I'm going to get more sleep. Draft season's around the corner. Could have burned the whole place down. But you ever wake yourself up with coffee?
Spilling on myself? No. No, I haven't.
It's a weird scene. Imagine what that looked like.
I would have paid to have seen it.
So, last words before we get out of here. Brian?
Primo?
It's the end. The season's over, but like, you know, the guy said, we're not done. We're going to keep on going. Still plenty a lot to talk about. Looking forward to a lot of the decisions that are going to be made. You know, we don't know. We got to be patiently. We got to patiently just wait to see, you know, what decision Jason Kelce is going to make. What's the story behind Brooks, free agency, who stays, who goes? Are they going to go ahead and ride it out with Jalen Hurts? So, I mean, there's a lot to go ahead and look forward to, but stay tuned. That's what we're here for, to keep you guys updated on all this stuff. So besides that, you know, be safe. Appreciate all you guys during the season, tailgating. A lot of the people that we got to meet, a lot of the chemistry that was built amongst you fans, within each other, within us, a lot of the special guests that showed up to our tailgates, the privileges we got as a team, able to do some extra, you know, curricular things, the road trips that we took, it's been fun, man. It was another great year in that perspective, and it was a great year for the team just as well. I mean, we fell short. Fell short badly, but we fell short. It is what it is. But,
not one shout out for Korean barbecue. No.
Shout out to the Korean barbecue, bro. All right. Oh. Shout out to the cheesesteak, man. To the chef. Shout out to the chef. All right. But nah. Seriously, just thank you guys all for making this year possible. Gonna miss you guys, but hey, we're gonna be right back.
And shout out to all of them too. In the comments.
Oh yeah, it's definitely shout out to the wifey, man. She was the MVP, being so patient with me. And you know, a lot of things wouldn't have been possible because of her. I love you, babe. Thank you.
And wrangling the rascals while you're recording shows.
Well, she's got them She's an MVP. She got them both in a headlock right now. They're probably both sleeping. But yeah, man, she's been I appreciate her to the fullest. Other than that, you know, stay safe. Keep in touch, and go Birds.
Just building off what Prime said, when this season started, we didn't really know what to expect out of the Eagles. And when this season started, we really didn't know what to expect out of these tailgates. You know, we took a year off because of COVID. We didn't know what to expect on the return. We just went out there. We got a grill. We hit up Bud Light. And we told them, let's just throw a party and let's see what happens. And it honestly ended up blowing my expectations. The tailgates were an awesome, awesome part this year. It was very cool getting to know each and every one of you a little bit more, seeing you guys on a regular basis, and just, you know, making food and just being having great vibes before the games when the Eagles ultimately often stepped on our souls. It was cool, man, to have those memories. I want to say a shout out to Concha Hocken Bakery. You guys came up huge this year. Tomato pies, treats, ricotta cookies. You guys are awesome. Go check out Concha Hocken Bakery. Thank you to Bud Light for providing the beer. And thank you to Sal's Pizza Works in Marlton, who supplied the cheesesteaks this year and all the rolls, everything. It's a restaurant I used to work for. They're in Marlton, New Jersey. If you're in the area, go check them out. The cheesesteaks that I made are just as good in the restaurant. So, yeah, go check them out. And thank you to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, following you, I mean, Bud Light has been tremendous. They've always supported us, and they've helped give back to you guys and shout out to them. Tina has been always been amazing. If you haven't met her in person, she's super sweet, nicest lady you can meet. She'll give you a tour after COVID, but she'll give you a tour of the back area. It's awesome. Shows you how you make the tomato pies. Shout out to Lowski for holding down the tailgates. Great vibes all season long. The man went from Jersey to Tampa. Okay. He traveled all the way to throw a impromptu party at some random spot we found. And I was like, look, this is what you got to spend. And he's like, what? How the hell? But man showed up and just he's always brought that energy ever since we met him in the parking lot. Yes, a couple years ago. So shout out to him and Rosita as well. Shout out to Todd. I peeped your sneaker game. You know, I'm always watching. Shout out to you. I think that was your mom that showed up. Shout out to you guys. Evan, the cheesesteaks was amazing this year. Throwing it down.
Thanks for putting beers in people's hands and being the party. I don't know
what we just. Router. I'm just saying we all come together. I mean, Prime, you've been killing it, MCing. Shout out to the Slays who've gone up and above and beyond helping out the Eagles community, and they showed up to the tailgate. Awesome. And who else? Shout out to the Eagles, man. Get your shit together. It's cool. We're here to watch. We're here to critique. We're here to root you on. We're still travel. Come see you guys. We'll be anywhere you're going to be because we're psycho like that. Yep. And we appreciate you guys. And I know it's your young football team. You showed enough to me that you can take the next step. And I think that's where we are. Take the next step. Three first rounds. Yo,
summer tailgate.
Well, we could still do one more tailgate.
Yo, get together with us. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, we can still.
We can do a collab.
As many tailgates as we want.
Orphan John, talking Eagles, even go watch a wrestling match. Like, yo,
we can smash a chair over your head at the same time.
Man, I'm down.
Because I was thinking, I was like, I have 10 more cases of Bud Light. What am I going to do with it?
I say we just go to a street corner. Set up Lowski, play some music, and throw tailgates on the street corners.
I was thinking about that.
One more for the show.
One more.
Throw pop-up tailgates in Philly. That'd be awesome.
And last but not least, thanks for everyone who's been supporting this year. Stay safe out there. Seriously. Checking on your peoples. Make sure everybody's good. And draft season is officially on the clock. And did you want to end with this one? This little argument. Prime, did you have an argument you had an argument you wanted to settle with?
You talking about the Ben Simmons and Jalen Reagor argument? Yeah, so you know, I asked the question earlier. There was a comment out on WIP earlier this afternoon about the fact that who would you, if you only had a chance, a choice to get rid of one, who would it be, Ben Simmons or Jalen Reagor? You know who my answer is. Evan's answer is Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, 100%. I've never hated an athlete more in Philadelphia than I hate Ben Simmons. I get it. This is an Eagles podcast. I totally get it. The Sixers are my second team. You know what I mean? I'm Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, Flyers. That's how my order of fandom really works. I love the Sixers, and I have never been – I've never felt like a player has truly spit in my face the way that Ben Simmons has. For him to come out here and say he's not playing, for him to get the contract extension that he got, over $30 million, and then you come out, you have a miserable postseason, you're afraid to shoot the ball, you're afraid to even be in front of the fans, and to the point where you're straight up not playing all season long, and then you have the audacity to claim that you have mental health issues and you should still be getting paid when in reality you're just a bum that doesn't want to play. Fuck Ben Simmons. Jalen Reagor is a godsend compared to him.
Wow. I was officially playing NBA 2K. That was getting me through a lot of times. As soon as Ben Simmons started acting up, I haven't played NBA 2K since. So, Ben Simmons.
Real talk. I hope Ben Simmons goes to the worst market. Like, I want him to go to Sacramento. I want him to go to Detroit. I want his career to, like, I don't want to hear about him anymore. I hope, like, this dude never wins again. Like, that's my level of hate for Ben Simmons. I don't feel that for Rager. Rager is just a guy that, like, he tried. At least he tried to come out there and perform. Ben doesn't even show up, dude. He sits at home.
Rager spits in my face every goddamn week on the stupid plays that he makes, bro.
I get dude, the money comparison, at least you have, Rager's going out there and he's trying.
The money comparison, you have me blown away with that, because absolutely, that's a lot of goddamn money that we ended up giving to that piece of shit. Sixers is my second team, Philadelphia sports team. All right, I get it. But, man, nah. Jalen Rager is a fucking dick. All right? He's stupid. He's every word that goes with the word stupid, unintelligent, ignorant, dense, witless, half-witted, all right, naive, brain-dead, wooden, daft, scatterbrained, crack-brained, unthinking, ill-considered, short-sighted, fatuous, lunatic, cracked, cock-eyed.
Did you say fascist?
That's what it says here. out the lunch potty, dumbass, half-ass. All right.
Hey, this put him in the bathroom.
This loopy, half-baked, meaningless. All right, senseless. Come on, man, that dude's a piece of shit, bro.
Whoa. This put him in the bathroom moment has been brought to you by Prime in the bathroom. That was the weirdest endings to any show that we've had. But again, let's make it awkward.
Go Birds.
Keep making it awkward.
Keep making it awkward. You want to just...
Yeah.
Hit the fucking button, bro.
I can't even find the button, dude.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.